Recording.
Okay. Cord.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Welcome, everybody. This is Winfrey. This is our Monday night conference call where we have conversations with what seems to be intelligences in other realms that are able to look at us from another dimension and give, I guess, what we would call an unusual point of view and reference points to how things work. And I'm with my co-host, Terry Brown, who is the vehicle for these voices. And listen, somebody that's on the conference call, my battery's charging. If my battery keeps charging, we're in good shape. I thought it might go, if it goes off, then I'd have to go in and use Terry's phone. And hope it's off again. If I have to do that, be prepared. Maybe somebody can have their internet on, bbsradio.com, and just bring the microphone of their thing to the speaker so that people don't miss the call on the conference line. Okay, that probably won't happen, but in case it does, I'm just preparing ourselves. So the topic tonight is one that I think is of great importance for all of us who are concerned about our own evolution as spiritual beings who have taken on bodies, which is everyone on this planet. Some people are aware of that. Probably most people are not aware of it. But the rules apply regardless. And we've learned that all of us have had many, many, many lifetimes. Most of us have had many, many lifetimes. I won't say that's true for everybody. It's possible that somebody new has come into this realm that hasn't had a lot of past lifetimes. But in all of our past lifetimes, we have incurred commonly called karma, and we've impacted our connection with source and with our ability to even live as highly functional humans because of the things we've brought forth from other lifetimes. And this is true whether you know it or not. And even if you don't know the particular lifetime or the particular lifetimes, the way to figure out what has impacted you from past lifetimes by the what I call reverse engineering. And that is when you see a pattern that keeps repeating in your life that you don't understand where it came from, think that pattern is them, like I am this way. And when you start being aware of how things work in the big picture, you can be sure that these patterns are something that were established, what could be called your past track. And that can be good patterns or difficult patterns. Like, for example, some people have had experiences where they were very talented in a certain area. And in this lifetime, if you have an easy talent, if you have an affinity for something, then you will reestablish that talent. For example, in my case, I'm sure that I was a troubadour in England 1,000 years ago. And when I was younger, I was into electricity and physics and building things, and I thought that was going to be my career. But as soon as I had a guitar in my hand and I started writing, I can do this. And I became very preoccupied with writing songs and hitchhiking around the country. Now, I didn't know I had a past life, but I triggered into my potential for talent. Now, it didn't mean that I could pick up a guitar and play it right away, but it did mean I could learn it easily. And it did mean that I could put lyrics together easily. And I said, how did I know? Where did this come from? So perhaps in the early part of my life, when I was more technologically oriented, maybe I was tapping into Atlantean lifetimes, which was a highly technological civilization. And then when I picked up the guitar, I was tapping into my past lifetimes. There probably were more than one, but the one in particular that I know about, when I was a troubadour. And my life actually duplicated the outer manifestation of being a troubadour. I would travel around from town to town. I would arrive into cities where I didn't know anybody. I go play at the local pub. I get to know people right away. I create a scene. I'd stay for a week, and then I'd move to the next city. So I learned this because years ago, somebody did a reading on me, and they told me I was repeating all these this past lifetime as a troubadour, and that's why I was doing what I was doing. And the reading made so much sense. It fits so many pieces together that I was sure that it was true. And it was actually my first experience in the idea of past lifetimes. So then I realized there's been times when I've been killed for doing spiritual work. And Terry has the same memories. And that creates traumatic patterns that, if we do this work, we're going to get killed. And then it creates, you know, what happens is if you let that thought form keep growing, it will create the circumstances of that. So all of us have those kinds of patterns. I suspect most women have been plundered and raped at one point or another, abused. There's those of us that are male, and of course, we can be male and female. I don't think that from one lifetime to another you have to repeat the same sex. Maybe we've been abusive to other people. Maybe we've been generals in armies. Maybe we were crooks. Maybe we were whatever. And here we are. And somewhere in us is all those tendencies, and how do we deal with them? And particularly trauma. Trauma is something which is under the surface. It's like an under the surface fear and anxiety and anticipation, and you don't know why it's there. You don't even know it's there. It's just part of your expression. So this is going to be a very interesting conversation with our sources to understand how do we know what's inside of us that comes under the category of trauma, and how can we clear it? And I know both Terry and I have been, how will I say it, discovered these areas in ourselves. And Terry, do you want to say anything about this?
Well, to clear these patterns, it makes a great deal of difference. Can you hear me?
Uh-oh. Wait a second. I'm sorry. My receiver. This is my fault. And it's the phone. Hang on. Terry?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
You know what? I got the wrong headset on. And this headset, sometimes the receiver goes up. Let me switch headsets. I'm having a traumatic headset. Just a moment.
Okay, hang on.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I can hear you. So fix that problem. You know, we have the phone lines are still open. This is a simulcast between the telephone line and the internet. And anyone on the phone line want to share their experience, if they have one, of trauma that is impacting their life, and they don't know where it came from. No. Are we unmuted?
No, yeah. When I earlier, because of the noise, I muted the lines, but I don't know how to unmute it.
Oh, let me unmute it. Okay, just a second. Cancel.
All callers are unmuted.
Everyone's unmuted. Anyone want to say something about this topic?
I will, Wynn. It's Dee Collier from Missouri. Hello?
We hear you.
Can you hear me? It's Dee Collier from Missouri.
Okay.
I just want to say, several years ago, probably in the last 15 years, I have developed a great fear for riding in cars and vehicles, just out of the blue. Have no reason why I would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't figure out why. But if I'm driving, I'm a little better. But I have such a fear of riding in a vehicle with somebody else driving. It's horrible. Absolutely
mm-hmm.
horrible. And I don't know where that came from.
Okay. Anyone else have something?
Hey, Wynn, it's Chris.
Yes, Chris.
Yeah, I want to say I think a lot of my trauma, I don't know if I should say this, it's not so much physical as I used to see spirits as a kid and demons or whatever. I don't know if you want to go this way, but I'm telling you, it's part of my trauma, I think, that I've had to work through over the years on the paranormal kind of side. And
so,
I even include ETs in it, if that's okay.
So you saw things that went bump in the night and they scared the hell out of you.
Yes, ever since, you know, a lot more of these memories are coming back, and they're getting validated by my family, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not, you know, it all happened. All these, you know, paranormal experiences I had when I was a kid, and, you know, really scared me,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It's quite understandable, and it's probably real, okay?
It is.
Can I add to that, too? This is Cindy in Peoria, Arizona, because I actually was going to present this very thing. Curious if it was any kind of past life, because I just had a friend call me last night who has dealt with this from the time he was four, and he had a horrible nightmare last night and felt that these experiences were coming back, and I told him that I would put him in to the love life for protection. But I also had the same experiences and caused great trauma because nobody can validate what you're going through, and
mm-hmm.
it paralyzes you. So I don't know if it starts at a very early age in life, if it's carried over, or why we even experience those things. So
give an example of how the trauma affected you, okay?
Are you asking me or him or?
No, you.
A very young age, when you can't understand what's going on, and you're seeing things, and I mean, my hair was pulled, I was choked, but there's no one you can turn to, and then you don't know if it's something in your head, if it's really happening. But I mean, it went on for years and years, and then I would shut off any kind of. I felt like if I prayed, then they would come around me, or so it stopped me from doing a lot of things. You know, being in the dark. I mean, just little silly things. It just paralyzed me from.
When you're a child, it's just mm-hmm. it, it's really, really frightening, you know, because your parents don't believe you and think you're, you know, it's just being a kid. This is imagination. But, you know, they would say, oh, okay, yeah, something happened, but, you know, it wasn't, that was just a coincidence. And then, you know, and I'm just frightened every night in bed. I have to sleep with the light on to keep these things from messing with me sometimes and having to fight things off and scary stuff for a kid.
Right. I still sleep with the light on.
Okay. All right.
My name is Alice Jensen.
Hi, Val.
Alice.
Hi, Alice. You're just checking in, right?
That's right. I'm just checking in from Wisconsin.
Welcome. We're just having a little bit of a group discussion on trauma, patterns that hold people back.
I've been listening since 8.
Okay. Anybody else want to share?
But part of what's been different for me is my grandmother was totally into the paranormal. So I was raised appreciating and feeling at home with that part. But then when I was 50, that's when I started to remember childhood sexual abuse with other people. And part of my question is, like, what is there a way to quicken the clearing on a cellular level? Because I just don't want to stay in the past so much.
That's exactly what we're going to be asking. And Don told me we could go over tonight, okay?
Okay.
We have a call at 7, so if we get into it, oftentimes we get into these things and then we cut off before. Well, sometimes it sounds like we could go for hours, but at least we're going to try to cover.
Here with me, because for my 50th birthday, I went to a workshop on abuse, abandonment, and neglect. Because we had, you know, I got 2 great children. I just repressed and suppressed everything. I taught them about the paranormal. That was not a trauma. That was where I felt safe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, this was all going on with me. My mom was an alcoholic at the time. My dad was doing a lot of psychedelic drugs, and I think he might have been involved with a cult and all this stuff, too, and he didn't live with us, so that all kind of played into what's happening, you know, it's happened my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Mine was the opposite. My family was very, very open to paranormal, and there was no abuse or substance abuse. It was, you know, quite stable. So, but you know, I still experienced it.
Well, again, remember, some of these connections were very likely made in other lifetimes and carried forth. Okay, we don't know. Most of us don't know about our past lives. I happen to know a few of them, but I'm sure there's many. I know there's many that I have not a clue of, and you know, you carry the matrix forward from lifetime.
I know a bunch of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also a physicist, so I know they're all
happening. Oh, you remember when we had that call that one time? They said I had spirits attached to me.
Yeah.
And they were into the light and all that, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that was a big part. And I felt that clearing now, you know. And, it, you know, that's why I'm changing and being able to grow and stuff now, because I've got all that negative energies or attached spirits or whatever it was kind of away from me, or that karmic pattern or whatever it was, I don't know. But
my real big question here from Wisconsin is how, since we've all experienced shock and trauma, there isn't anybody here that isn't part of the shock truth, as far as I can tell. How do we support, like, groups, like huge groups at a time, being able to clear it so we can just stay grounded and love what is.
Well, that's what we're going to learn tonight, I hope. And we'll get some keys.
Praise God on that. I hope to. Praise God on that. I hope to.
Personally, I have this one idea that by coming into the conference calls and reading all this stuff over and over again, it starts to move your own matrix consciousness of the level where all these negative things exist in your track. And for some people, it starts to clear. You know, in my own little watching of things, there's two ways of clearing patterns. One is from the bottom up, and one is from the top down. And from the bottom up,
exactly right.
Bottom up is like observation, maybe going to a shrink, going to all these therapies that people have for things, and there's a workability to it. And from the top,
yeah.
From the top down, it means going above the pattern and bringing light through the pattern so that you can heal it through, the word I would use is grace. That's the conventional word, where you can clear something from moving your space above the place where it was created.
I describe it as like a fight almost, and it was kind of a fight for me for a long time, and now I'm kind of on that positive side of it. I'm up, and I've won.
Now you've been coming into the calls a lot, and you've noticed the benefit of that, right, Chris?
Yes, totally. I know that energy is, you know, in a part of my change, tapping into that energy.
I think the very first step somebody has to take is to at least identify the pattern. Because prior to identifying it, it feels like you are the pattern. That's who you are. And, you know, until you know that that's a pattern that's been imposed upon you by one way or another, you can't even begin to deal with it.
That is a really cool way of saying it. I am not the pattern.
Yeah, you're not the pattern.
The interesting thing is, I've been told them, one of my past lives, in the 1800s, I was a doctor that developed addiction to narcotics because I was so sensitive to my patient. You know, it was just, you know, it all makes sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It all, you know.
Okay, does anyone else have anything they want to say?
When I would like to ask, this is Dee again.
Who is that? Is that Alice?
No, it's Dee Collier.
Dee.
Make it fast, because I want to give room for other people.
I want to ask, can you give some insight on identifying a pattern?
Yeah, we're going to ask about that. How does somebody identify a pattern?
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm terrified of the ocean, water, swimming, whatever it is, I just cannot get there. That's a trauma I have been having my whole life.
It's about being on the ocean?
Yeah.
Okay.
The water that just terrifies me.
Okay. So that would be probably an indication.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
That you drown sometime, okay? But anyone else have something?
There's just one question about California, because I've got friends calling me saying, you know, they're hearing channeled information that it's going to be gone by the end of June or October. So
you know what?
That builds up trauma right there.
Well, that question should be asked on a Wednesday, probably.
Okay, great.
Because, you know, one of the things that I'm learning, and this is like a big thing to learn, that you don't have to be scared of dying, that we go on. And once you face that in yourself, and once you know how to die, which we've talked about at different calls, then there's not such anxiety about this kind of stuff. we did ask our sources a question, and they said, yes, it would be good to live 50 miles away. They didn't say California was going underwater, but they said, you know, sometime in the future, they expect some kind of event like what happened in Japan. And they wouldn't say when, but they said it wouldn't be a bad idea to live 50 miles away from the coast. That's what they said. So that's about as clear as we could get it. We could ask them.
They should have.
Aren't some of the people's, like, our DNA being upgraded so we can, like, more withstand all these changes that are coming about, and, you know, certain, you know, some people.
Well, they say that you can, you know, a human can, if they're upgraded, they can withstand radiation. But I don't know if a human could withstand a tsunami if it was coming at them. I think you'd have to say that was it. Let's go. I'm ready. But who else has something they want to offer besides the people that have already shared? No, good. We can start it. You sure?
Well, no. For some reason, I don't like to speak up a lot, but I got to tell you guys this. Maybe it'll make me feel better. I'm 64 years old. My best friend was killed in Vietnam.
Who was that speaking? Who is that?
I'm Trish in Florida.
Okay. All right.
I was from another city, but I moved to Florida when I was 13. But prior to that, we spent every day together. And never boyfriend and girlfriend. Ultimately, well, he appeared to me 3 weeks after he died, and I thought I was crazy, scared the hell out of me, and I never told a soul. But, you know, I think of him a lot. He's always with me in times of stress, and then I won't think of him for ages. Now that I'm older, I think of him a lot because I know more about the spiritual realm. But I've had my past lives read, and Eddie was his name. And when we were little and would play house, he was always a soldier coming home from the war. Then I get my past lives read, and he has been a soldier in most all the lives we've been together. Yeah. And I get goosebumps when I tell people this, because I was amazed when the woman read one of his lives. I was a healer for the king, the ruler, and he was sent to me because he had a festering wound in his left leg. And when she told me, I kept him alive for 3 weeks, and ultimately he died of a festering wound in his left leg and pneumonia. Well, in Vietnam, he hit a landmine when he was driving a Jeep, and his leg was shattered, his left leg. But he actually died of a lung injury, which was almost similar, you know, to the past life. And it was when she told me that there was no way this woman could have known anything about him. She didn't know his name. All I sent her was a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that has reinforced a lot of things in my life. I mean, just the fact when he appeared to me when I was 20 years old, you know, yeah. I knew he was gone.
Who was it that appeared to you? What was their relationship to you?
We were best friends. We never were boyfriend and girlfriend. You know, maybe 6th or 7th grade, we got kind of goofy with each other because everybody thought we were boyfriend and girlfriend. And, you know, he was like my brother, you know, to me then.
Friend, okay.
And when he appeared to me, I went into my apartment, and all the drapes were drawn. I live in Florida. My apartment faced south. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My drapes were closed. There was no way the sun was shining in my windows. And he had nothing but just bright light all around him. And all I can describe it as stardust is what it reminded. You know, now I just realize it was his aura, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something. I'm not afraid to die anymore. It's just amazing how when you really get into this, and as I've gotten older, I've gotten more into it. We were raised Catholic, so we have a lot of that stuff. It's hard to get rid of that daily Catholicism drug in your head, you know, because we went to Catholic school. And basically, from the time we were 3 years old, we were together. And I'm told he's waiting for me up there now.
Right. Did you ever read about Terry's past life?
I think parts of it.
She had a past life. Well, one time, I mean, I say this because you said you were a Catholic, and this is meaningful. You know, there is this idea that I have that the sources we're talking to were very much a part of Christianity and mm-hmm. very much a part of many positive interventions from other realms into this realm. And that mm-hmm. this was a member of the Ra group. Now, when I first was considering this, I said, can this be true? I said, can this be true for a couple of years? And finally, one of the things that just, there were a number of sledgehammers. One of them was when I asked, was Terry ever anybody famous in a past life? And I really didn't expect them to answer because it's not necessarily in a person's best interest to know that they were somebody famous, but then their ego gets involved in it. And but in Terry's case, you know, Terry, as you probably can tell, has been fairly shy and yes. fairly reserved. And when we first started channeling, she was scared. How do I know this is positive? Do we really want to put this out into the world? And when I said, who was Terry ever anybody famous? They said, look up St. Catherine of Siena. So there was this 14-year-old girl who used to go down to the local monastery, and the other priests and nuns would write down everything she said because they thought God was speaking to them through her. And, you know, when you read St. Catherine's Dialogues with God, which are available for free, there's PDF files of it. It's outside of copyright. Even you can buy it on Amazon. You can see how they used Jesus, because it had to be within the context of Jesus and Christianity for them to get a message through, how they used that and still brought through the wisdom through St. Catherine to help people make connection. And it was amazing for me to read that. And if you haven't ever read it, you might go, I have a page, I can't remember. It might be stcatherine.messageaday.net that I put up on it. And I put a link to St. Catherine's Dialogues with God, which are available for free. And you can see how they used the Christ epic through St. Catherine to bring through the wisdom and the guidance for the people at that time who were following a Christian motif, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but one of the lives, I met Eddie at the tomb of Jesus. He was a Roman soldier guarding the tomb, and he had lost his family, mm-hmm. you know, his children and wife, and they were killed in an ambush of some sort, mm-hmm. and we fell in love. And that was one of my lives with Eddie. I mean, it's amazing. And, I mean, maybe these people are crazy when you don't really understand it all, but I've always been into this. Even as children, when we were little, we knew you came back again. And we would have these little kind of like discussions, and I don't know. I don't want to waste all our time, but I love talking about this, and I love your thing. I listen a lot on Wednesdays. I love Dr. Casey. Wonderful psychics, Ruth Montgomery. Anybody could read any of those books. They'd love them. Read anything they can find from these people.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I'll just make a mention. I don't usually say this because it's hard. I don't want, last time I said it, it took 3 months to do it because we had all these things. Terry's friend John died. We were going through a lot of things, but the readings, we've done readings for people, and they are really, really valuable. And like Edna had a reading. Edna, are you there? Edna.
Yes.
How did that reading impact? You had two readings. How did you get impacted by those readings?
The readings were wonderful. It really resonates. All the as many questions that I had, I kind of knew, I had a feeling about how things were in my life, and I had a vague feeling why it was the way it was, and it was confirmed. It affected my life positively, and after that, it just changed my life because my attitude, the energy, everything.
Thank you. In any case, terryreading.com is there, and you can read about it, and if you're interested, just don't rush me. That's the thing, because I feel like once we start the process, right now we're probably clear to do some in the next couple of weeks, but I felt really bad because last time it took about 3 months, because when we do a reading, there has to be a really clear space in our lives. Because we handle so much energy. How can I say it? It's not just a reading. We become affiliated energetically with the person and the sources, and we're like the in-between agents. So it can be a great, if you resonate with our material, a reading can really help in this particular issue, I believe, for many of you. In any case, I'm going to mute everybody. Thank you all so much for sharing. And
all callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. Terry, is there anything you'd like to share about this topic? You've spent a lot of time working out past life stuff in different ways. I don't hear you, Terry. Are you muted?
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm here. Think we could... I'm having a trance right now.
Let's start then, okay? All right? Just go back into a trance. And Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the Earth, actually from the center of the universe to the center of the galaxy. We're going up there. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection, a blending of our energies. We go back to the place where we were one with each other and the universe, before we separated. We invite our sources to join with us as part of the oneness. And we create, we do this while maintaining the individual sovereignty of each of our souls. We're still separate while we move into this place. We're not losing ourselves. And we invite those sources of positive service to others to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. Do we have a source present to answer our questions on traumas and past life patterns that are impacting our present life, in particular in negative ways? They're not all negative ways, obviously. If you have a talent, that's not negative. But we want to overcome parts of our...
Well, it sounded like his phone went off right now. And this is Terry. And I could begin to... I don't know if the people on the conference line can hear, since his phone went off and he was connected to the conference line. I'm just asking, can the audience on the conference line hear me as I'm talking right now? I think that the conference line, they can hear me? Okay, great. Not on Lynn's conference line. Yeah. His phone probably went dead. He was trying Okay. So he's coming in right now, so let me ask him. When?
Yeah.
You lost your conference line. Yeah, no, I could. All right, when will be right in? This is Terry, and I'll just fill in for a little bit. They're really ready to go on this topic. They're already and giving me information already. But we've lost the conference line people, so.
Somebody will put it on. Anyway, somebody will put me with BDS on the conference.
Okay. Hold on, everybody.
Okay. We just lost our conference line. So I hope somebody that's on BBS and listening to it on the internet will follow what I requested, and we'll try to get back directly on it in just a moment. In fact, is your phone fully charged, Terry?
Totally.
Do you know the numbers for tonight's call?
No.
No. Okay. Just hang on. This is one of those nights we don't have to stop at 7. We can continue. So just be patient just for a moment. We're talking tonight about traumas. And I'm waiting for my phone to come on, and it's not coming on. So I can call back the conference line again. Hang on. Isn't it amazing? As soon as I brought them in, I went off.
I already did
that. Right.
I did it with the meeting, if I should just go ahead and channel it up.
So, we'll get it back. Don't go away. Everybody that's listening on the replay lines and live right now on BBS, we lost our simulcast. So I'm going to try to get it back on. You know, we could, if anyone's on BBS and wants to have something about, if you've got the BBS screen, there's a phone number there. You can actually call in and we can take your request about your trauma and anything you've experienced in this area while we're waiting. It's a 530 number, and it's on your screen. Testing, testing. Thank you, Seth. 530-413-4515. Anyone want to call and share their experience? Please, come on. Well, if someone comes on, I'll hand the phone to you, okay? This is Winfrey, and my phone just came on, and okay, I'm going to call up. I'm going to get back on the lines again here. So we have our conference line on. Let's see. We I'm sure this will be worth waiting for. Okay, just a second. You know, we do these calls on our cell phone, and sometimes we get the 4134. Hang on. Here we go. Jeff, if you're listening, I am going to call you again in just one moment. Hang on.
Lectured 3, 6, 8. There are 14 participants in this conference. This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we're back on the conference line. Now let me get back on DBS. Just a moment. Okay, I think we're connected now. Seth?
Okay.
Seth? Just a moment now.
Okay, just a moment.
Hello?
Hello?
Seth?
Hello?
Yes, Rin.
You guys hear me?
Yes, I can, Rin. Everybody's muted for the rest.
Yeah, but no, it's Seth on. Seth?
Seth?
Am I on the air? Anyone have BBS on? You hear me on BBS?
You're echoing a lot, Rin, on BBS.
Okay, I've got to walk away from Terry's phone because the two phones are right next to each other. So let me walk away and... Terry left the room now. So at least we got everything working, and thank you all for being so patient. And we're recovering from a serious crash, the computer says. And we're on the air, I think. So,
yes, right, Rhonda? We're on the air.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, we're on the air, and we're on the conference line. So now we need Terry. We're ready, Terry. We're on. I'm too close to the mic? Okay. I'm shouting to Terry. You know, when we don't have the conference line and we start to do this, we probably could, but you guys really help hold the energy for the internet. Terry, are you back?
I'm back.
Okay. I mute everything.
Okay.
All callers are muted.
And of course, we have these little clicking sounds. We're just going to have to endure them. And let's just quickly call in the light again. Yes, for the light. We just go through it all. Bring in a group energy. Bring in protection. And we ask for the presence of our sources to begin, however they would choose, to open this topic.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator, and we are delighted to be with each and every one of you, blasting through and sending love light to eliminate frustration over interruption and reestablishing firm connection with each and every one on this line. We welcome each and every person who will listen to the who will listen to the audio later or read the transcript. Give us a moment. We speak, first of all, to Dee, and we note that there is trauma, as you have mentioned, when riding in a car driven by others, as riding in the car driven by another means less control. And there is not only the short past wherein automobiles have been available on your planet, how there have been earlier times, earlier planets where automobiles have been available. And we see that there was an incident in your past where there was a drowning, a automobile accident. Now, do not take our word for this. When you are riding in a car, notice the specifics of your fear. At first, when one experiences fear from a past life pattern, it moves into the individual's life and is not generalized, and the fear tends to be of a broad nature. However, as you take the fear as an opportunity to learn more about your past, you can zero in on specifics. For instance, is the fear a little greater when the cars turn to the left or turn to the right? Is there a fear when in a particular part of the road? Is there a fear when the car is moving through a particular environment? Does the fear get stronger? If the driver veers a little bit to the right, does the fear get stronger? This applies to everyone on the line who has a pattern of trauma based upon a past life incident. Whatever the trauma may be, the fear can move into isolation of the specifics. The specifics may, for instance, be a trauma where an individual was killed in a past life. When the trauma triggers by the current incident that is similar in some way to the trauma, one can isolate out eventually by observation the specifics of the trauma. When one gets to the basis of the specifics and understands what the original trauma was and the reason for the pattern, the pattern will fade into the distance and will no longer create discomfort. When one experiences discomfort, this is one way to tell that a pattern or trauma from a past life or even this life has keyed in. Normally, there is some incident in this life at an earlier age that has triggered the pattern. Something has happened to the individual, an incident wherein the pattern is triggered by similar circumstances. So when one looks in their earlier life, then they can find some maybe terrifying incident or some scary incident wherein after that there was a change in behavior as the individual may be dodging the possibility that the original trauma could happen. We think of examples here, although we debate giving you an example. Before we take a look at that, we will also comment that a number of individuals on the line have mentioned incidents to do with spirits. And this is another layer on what could be happening. There is a multiplicity of things that can be going on. The showing up of the spirit and the scaring of someone when they are sleeping or alone by a spirit showing up is not a pattern. It is a this life current real time incident wherein one is making a connection with another. This can be where a spirit has gotten trapped in this third density realm and does not understand that their life as they knew it was over and they still attempt to carry on in their past life circumstances, and they attempt to scare people or to control people or to just in a confusion attempt to get help within their circumstance. This is not a pattern, and usually the individuals who realize that there is a spirit there are more perceptive, are more aware, and they can actually speak to the individual. And if they are aware enough, they can converse with the individual via telepathy, even while they are verbally speaking, and can do the spirit some service to offer them the opportunity for returning to the heaven realm, where the ghost or spirit can actually get help. The more perceptive an individual is, the more they will be able to deal with the situation, whatever the situation is. Moving back to an example of a situation, of a pattern. There was an incident in Terry's life when she was six, wherein she had gone to live in a foster home, and her parents had promised her a birthday party to come home to the natural parents and to have a party given for her birthday, her sixth birthday. She got picked up by her parents and taken to the homestead, and she, at the homestead, saw her cousins and their parents all sitting, they were all rising and sitting at a long table. And as they sat at the table, they were talking and having a good time. And Terry was very excited about this birthday party, as she had been feeling isolated living in the foster home. At the party, her mother gave her a tray of little glasses of ginger ale and asked her to serve the people at the party. She had not talked to anyone yet at the party. In moving out on the porch had stones that were angled. Her little foot stepped upon the stone and tilted, whereupon the tray tilted and all the glasses fell over on the tray, and the ginger ale spilled up the front of her dress, which was her birthday present, a beautiful new organdy dress. Her mother came screaming out and yelling at her that she had ruined everything, and she always ruined everything, and she had ruined the dress. And she was screaming this in front of all of the cousins. And so Terry explained that the dress couldn't have been ruined, and it would probably dry, and that she would go into the other room, into the living room, and wait until it dried. So Terry sat in the living room during the party, and no one sang her happy birthday. Nobody wished her a happy birthday. And then people began to leave at the end of the party, and the dress was beginning to dry. And then someone, her grandmother, suggested that maybe they should give her some ice cream and cake. So somebody brought her some ice cream and cake. And then it was time to go back to the foster home. And so her mother told her to take the dress off. and she asked if she could take the dress with her. And her mother said no, she didn't know how to take care of the dress, and the dress was ruined. And she had to clean the dress. And so Terry went back to the foster home. Now, Terry was quite hurt and angry because this party had been promised to her. And so during her life, how did that form a pattern? She would go to somebody's house, and they would serve her tea, and she would spill the tea. And she had quite a thing about spilling things. Like, she seemed to not be able to hold the cup without getting it a little bit spilled or a lot spilled. So then Terry experienced in this pattern a desire to actually spill things on purpose, to shower people with the water. And so what was this? What was this? And Terry observed this. And so she began to isolate out the different components of this. One of them was when people were sitting around a table that was similar to the table they were sitting at the party, then it reminded her of that. And she wanted to get everybody's attention and say, look, I'm here, I'm here. And so once she made that connection, the whole thing faded. And people sitting around the table were just normal, and they were looked friendly, and there was no more of this rage about, look, I'm here. So this is an example of how an incident, which is highly charged and has a lot of emotion, can ride with a person, and then they forget that it's there, and then here, like a computer program with a little glitch in it, it tends to skew somebody's emotion, and the emotion bleeds through from the incident, even though they may not even remember what the incident is. And this can come from the past life, too. So that one incident can create a number of different factors in it, and each factor can be slightly different and then can be observed and can be erased. So when somebody has an uncomfortable pattern, they can use it as an opportunity to be able to evaluate it and see what are the specifics of it. Does it involve a direction, left, right? Is there a pain connected with it that only is felt when the pattern moves in? Is there a pressure on the head? Is there a pain in the foot? And one can use this for evaluation to learn more. What is the trigger? Is the trigger riding in a car and driving by a river on the right? And is there any feeling of suffocation, not being able to breathe? And sometimes these patterns, the feelings get stronger and stronger, and then it seems like it's very hard because it seems like it will never be better. And it seems to get worse the closer one gets to isolating what it was that happened. One might see pictures in their vision. They might think dreams, or they might dream about it and have some knowledge come in dreams and one can ask for dream clarification and then begin to write down their dreams when they first wake up and get some more information from their dream state. So these patterns are an opportunity to find out more and to then detoxify them, to eventually move them out of their focus so that they can put their attention on what is important to them in their current life. We hope this helped. This information helped. Do you have questions? Wynn, are you muted?
Oh, yes, I was muted. Somebody had a fear of water, and I would assume that that would be indicative that they had drowned at some time. Can this kind of fear, you know, as I understand it, we have thousands of lifetimes. Can they travel through thousands of lifetimes into this lifetime?
It tends to travel non-linearly, wherein an individual may have the incident, as we were speaking of, in their earlier childhood, one incident where it can key in earlier circumstance in an earlier life. And non-linearly, it might key in a whole chain of incidents in their earlier track, and it does not have to be like the last lifetime or the lifetime before. Like, it might be the last lifetime death, and then 50,000 years before a similar incident. When one can find out more and then get down to the first time that it happened, that one could ask for the first time. And once they get to the basic on that particular incident, then they will notice easing of the symptoms, and they can say, aha, get their aha moment and say, oh, you know, I don't have to be scared of that. It's, that's what happened, you know, and that was one small little incident in time. And it doesn't happen all the time. And so most of the time it doesn't happen. Most lives, it never happens. And so they can zero in by observation on the first time it happened, and spotting the incident in this life wherein it something similar reminded them of it, and it triggered the earlier floodgates of information to come in. But it's not the last lifetime and the one before and the one before. It's a chain of similar things, not necessarily lifetime before and before and before, but it might be jumping from one lifetime to 20 lifetimes to 500 lifetimes. Does that make sense?
So it's kind of like we all have the predisposition to certain patterns, but until something triggers it in this lifetime, and this probably goes for both positive and negative patterns. Like when I picked up a guitar, it triggered that troubadour lifetime. Although if I never picked up a guitar, I could have missed it. It wasn't like it was predestined. So the negative patterns is we have to fall into something that triggers the pattern from the past lifetime. But once we do, it's triggered, and now it lodges, and it needs to be cleared.
Right, that's correct.
Right.
Yes.
Now, oftentimes people are very unconscious. So they go through their life and something does trigger a pattern, probably when they're young, as it happened in the case with Terry. And then they live with that pattern, they're working with it, but they don't even know it's a pattern because it seems like these patterns are operated at a rather unconscious level. So we think we're the pattern. How does a person dredge out a pattern? They're unconscious. They know it's a pattern and it's not them.
When they feel uncomfortable about something, like a feeling comes up and they feel uncomfortable about it, it doesn't feel right. It feels like something's wrong, or they go into a rage and it doesn't even make any sense really that they should be in a rage right then, but they really aren't in the current present surrounding. Something has bled in from the past that is they are trying to deal with. And the logic is with whatever happened in the past, their behavior is logical from that standpoint, but from the current moment, it is not logical. It's just that something has reminded them very strongly of something that happened in the past, and it's even subconscious, and they don't really know where it's coming from. It's just all of a sudden there's an uncomfortable feeling and an illogic reaction to something, and a person really is not at home with that. It's like there's a contradiction between the surroundings and what they're desiring to express. And this could be one symptom of a pattern that one can say, hey, wait a minute, and can begin to look at it.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I talked about in my little introduction had to do with trauma, with women who were sexually abused over some period of time in the past. I would think if somebody had that experience, that when they try to be intimate this lifetime, would surface that experience. Now, a person could have had abuse way back when, and they could have been a male, they could have been a woman. I'm assuming this is more for women, but probably in some cases for men. There was a period of time when women were the dominators, supposedly, and men were their slaves. So now in this particular time period, when somebody had that experience, how might they identify it and clear it? Because that's a heavy one.
There can be all sorts of variations of fears based upon all sorts of variations of things that could have happened. And it could be education, that a person was brought up to believe that sex was bad, or it could be that they had heed abuse. And there's another factor here too. It's if a person, say, has had abuse in, say, a past life, then their fears or their emotions may come over them to want to urge or entice them to the perpetrator, as they don't like the position of having been abused. They may overreact and then
not knowing how to correctly get back at the feeling of rage and desire to get back at the perpetrator, then they may become a perpetrator themselves in an effort to try and handle and get to the power point on what they experienced before. So sometimes if a person has an illogical urge, then they have been perpetrated against in a similar manner, and they're attempting to become the top dog and to somehow deal with their emotion in a more powerful way. And if that is the case, and then they observe themselves and see, they begin to zero in on what has happened to them, they can even eliminate those feelings of desiring to perpetrate. So the logic, it makes total sense when an individual has experienced something and their reactions based upon what they have experienced in the past makes sense, although in current time they don't make sense in their current situation. The people involved are not the right people. They're different people. The situation's totally different. But they zero in on the wrong location and the wrong time, and wish to act out of that previous situation and time to somehow deal with it. Something that has gone by and not been dealt with at the time.
So in other words, if somebody had been in a circumstance where they were abused, instead of being a fear of intimacy and just avoiding it, they may use intimacy as a way of having power over someone else to protect themselves from being abused. Now, you know, what comes to my mind is period of time. I've read this, and most people probably don't even know this, but there was some period of time in the ancient past where women were the dominators and men were their slaves. And so in recent times, there's been a thing where men totally dominate women. And, you know, it's like being part of the collective and is a general pattern. Is that, like, connected?
It is an individual thing, although in the time when women were the dominators, they did have some abuse toward the other sex, or the women, there was rituals that were very barbaric. And then this would set off patterns within individuals that were abused or abusers. It is an individual thing based upon what the individual experienced.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a situation where a person did something that we would call negative. Like maybe they killed people, maybe they stole from people, and they didn't do that in this lifetime, but they did it in some past lifetime, perhaps in excess. And when they come into this lifetime, how would that background of experience impact their consciousness in this lifetime?
One of the things that might happen is if the individual stole things, let's say that they, in Roman times, walked into a store and stole bread and got in trouble for it and got in a whole lot of trouble for it. And then in this lifetime, they walked into the store and, you know, they got the cameras rolling and taking videos of all the people in the store, and they may feel guilty. Like, oh, the shopkeeper's going to think that I stole bread. Or the shopkeeper's going to think that I'm going to be a robber. That's, but it's also an individual thing, because one can be picking up the thoughts of the shopkeeper. The shopkeeper may be sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, you know, somebody might rob me, and then somebody might walk in the store and they don't even have the history of being a robber or anything, but they pick up the vibe from the shopkeeper, oh my gosh, you know, there's going to be a robbery, and then the person feels guilty. Say they don't even have a history of abusing people, and then they walk into a store, and a woman is very overzealous about protecting her child and is putting out the thought, oh my gosh, somebody might kidnap my child in here. And then somebody else might pick up that thought and think, I feel like somebody's thinking I'm going to kidnap the kid. And because we're all us in our realm, and you in your realm, and individuals within your realm, we are all connected. And so thoughts bleed through. But it is typical for people to be very telepathic, and it is an anomaly within your realm that they rely so much on verbal. But the thoughts do bleed through. Now, if somebody had been, say, a murderer in a past life, then in the current life, they might feel that they deserve the other side of the coin, as like to get murdered. And they may pull it in on themselves. So there are all sorts of variations here.
I see. Once you identify a pattern like this, you say, okay, I was a murderer, and I'm going to put it in murder, or I was drowned, and now I'm scared of water, or I was hit by a car, and now I'm afraid to drive in cars, or I was abused, and now I'm afraid to be vulnerable, and I'm scared, or at least I have to dominate. If once a person can identify the pattern, how do they free themselves from the pattern?
One thing would be is if a person experiences a traumatic incident, to detoxify themselves, debrief themselves, find somebody to tell about it, and work through it until they can let it go. Then they do not carry it with them. Another thing is, if a person hangs around in the third density too many lifetimes, then they do not get a chance to debrief, particularly if they're living and then they die in a traumatic way and they do not go back to heaven realm to get detoxified, to get debriefed, to let it go, and to reestablish their own sense of health and well-being. And they can build up traumas that then are hard to handle if they move from lifetime to lifetime without going back to the heaven realm to talk about it, to be debriefed, and to again know the love of the heaven realm.
Now, another question here is grace. I have this idea that, now maybe this works with the Elohim better than the Ra group. I'm not sure. I know we're getting a lot of wisdom of understanding of this realm. So I would make the hypothesis the Ra group is really helping in this understanding of this. And in the element of grace, let's suppose a person becomes aware of a particular pattern and they pray. And they've learned to connect with higher realms and they pray for the release of that pattern. Can that work? How does that work?
That also can work in that grace is a certain section that is in charge of grace. There is a certain section within the Elohim group, and upon praying, one can have grace move in and can move little sparklets of energy to break up the connections that are holding the pattern in place and can learn to let it go. The reason why it is difficult to let a pattern go is because there is an incompleted communication within what happened in the trauma. And the individual keeps on trying to communicate. For instance, in the incident with Terry and the spilling of the water, she wanted desperately to communicate. She was at the party. She wanted desperately to connect with the people at the party, to have them wish her happy birthday, to have a gift given to her, to give and take. She had been looking forward to it for so many weeks before the party, and then it all went wrong. And there was this tremendous communication that didn't get fulfilled. So that is the reason why these patterns hang around, because there's something incompleted. It's like there was an injustice, perhaps. Perhaps a person suddenly got murdered and they were in the middle of something and in another life, and they suddenly got murdered and they had all these things going on, and suddenly nobody could talk to them, or they couldn't talk to anybody, and it's like there is this tremendous, hey, what happened, you know? It's like there was just this big incompletion, so that when suddenly somebody dies, then there's more of a chance of an incompletion, and the more of a chance that they keep trying to work out the completion of whatever it is and hanging around in the realm, like the incident of the person that owned the complex of apartments and was totally connected. This is one of the incidents that we had come up that we were dealing with in one of our readings, that this individual just kept going around and trying to talk to the people in the apartments. He owned it. You know, this was a matter of pride for him that he owned these apartments, and suddenly he died, and he was hanging on and connected, so connected with his pride in owning these apartments that he couldn't let it go. They just kept walking around to the apartments and trying to talk to the people, and they didn't talk to him. And he had this huge incompletion. He wanted everything to keep going the way it was, but he was no longer alive to make it happen. And So that's one of the reasons that these patterns hang on, and people hang on to something from the past because something was incomplete. And if you can see it, then you say, oh, well, that's what happened, and okay, and now I can see that, like, these people are really friendly, and the whole thing will rearrange in time, and as a completion goes in. Somebody listened, somebody heard, somebody made the completion happen of the communication. Somebody heard.
You know, Chris talked about the idea of, I guess you could use the word haunted, where you have discarnate beings connecting with you. Now, I would assume when you start talking about discarnate beings, you could talk about everything from a discarnate being that's a ghost to some evil reptilian that is hooking into somebody's energy. And in those cases, would there have been, I'll just give a whole number of things, could there have been a past life circumstance that allowed that openness? Like, for example, maybe somebody was a witch and they were calling in beings, or a satanic worshiper and calling in beings, or maybe drugs or alcohol in this lifetime, or even in another lifetime, that maybe a person wasn't doing it this lifetime, but that they opened up the portal to other dimensions, and they were reaping the openness of that portal in this lifetime. Could you get some insight on that?
If a person gets into the satanic energy, then they are opening up a portal to many unhappy beings that are trying to figure it out. And drugs can lead into something where an individual is letting themselves go and is not taking responsibility for their own space and time, and then can open up to other beings to come in and take over, not even necessarily satanic beings, but other discarnate beings that are around and are looking for opportunities to, again, express themselves in the physical plane.
Thank you. How would one close these portals if one found, you know, became aware of it and say, okay, I don't want this anymore?
One could become familiar with frequencies, as each thing has its own peculiar frequency and can learn to move out of the frequency, the offending frequency. And in moving out of the offending frequency, they can close the portal and the opening for the connection of a negative being to close terminals with them, to move, to connect with them at a certain frequency. This is how synchronicities happen. When an individual is putting out a certain energy of connection, then they will connect at the frequency of where they are at and what they are looking for. If they are looking and moving at an energy or a frequency that is the same frequency as a negative being, then this is a non-linear connection, and one in doing this can connect with a negative being that is clear across town. And this is like a GPS homing signal that the negative individual can hone in on the person and can find their way to meet them or to somehow synchronize with them and have a connection and move it into the physical realm.
Thank you. Can music open up portals into both positive and negative realms? You know, there's a lot of music of all kinds of different natures, and some of it is very cacophonic and angry and discordant, and others is very beautiful and harmonic. And can music impact the ability of a person to both connect with positive and negative stuff in other realms?
Each frequency is the same. Music frequencies have, we search for the words, harmonics, and the music frequencies resonate within themselves. Now, there could be a connection between a certain negative frequency that the music could put out the frequency, and individuals of a certain negative frequency may begin to love the music. It is unlikely that the frequencies of the music would exactly match the frequencies of a particular negative person's orientation to hook up negative people. Although if we look at, say, certain hypnotic drug music, then it could put a person into a trance that would allow opportunity for other entities to move in, and also could lull the person into taking drugs and to move further into the state of oblivion.
Thank you. Suppose a person has sex with someone that has an entity or attachments. Can those attachments move from one person to the other, or even connect with both of them if they have an intimate connection?
This is one thing that an individual in having sex indiscriminately can move into a situation where an individual can send out attachments or entities to the other person to help them to make connection with that person, and a person can be have their judgment affected by this, and can be negatively affected by that, yes.
Okay, thank you. You know what? We've gone a long time tonight. At 7:48, Don said there was nobody coming on after us, and we could go on. We did, and I think we'll move it to a close right now, at least the question answer and asking part of it. And I thought maybe we would take a moment few minutes, a minute of silence, and we could all ask for help in a prayer-like way for whatever traumas we have that are impacting us. We can also take a moment right now, and let's send our light and love to Carla Ruckert, to Carolyn Sabin, who's in the hospital in England, and to anyone else that's paying attention to our group that needs some healing. Let's do the healing first, okay? Take a moment. Take a moment and do the radiation from Japan, the negation of its effect. However, it can be worked on to deconstruct its negative impact. Whatever patterns we have, have been obstacles for us, and put the light around the pattern. Love the pattern and release it, and ask that it be lifted from our matrix, if that's possible.
All callers are unmuted.
Have we just unmuted all you guys? Thank you so much for holding for the energy and being in on the line. I hope somebody's still on the line. Are people still on the conference line?
I'm here.
Okay. So,
I'm here.
All right. So the exercise is, let's get rid of all our patterns in the next week. And, you know, maybe we should do a workshop one time. People can talk about their patterns. Just by talking about it, they indicated that's really a good way of helping to release things. I'll hold that idea open. Send me an email if it's something that you think would be helpful to you, and that'll encourage me. And thanks to everyone. Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Hives, for hosting. Thanks, PBS. Thanks. Our transcribers. Yeah.
Thank you, Wynn.
Me? Okay, thank me. And,
yeah, thank you, Wynn. That was an awesome call tonight.
Was it?
Yeah.
I look forward to reading the transcriptions. I think there were a lot of things there. It was really a lot of stuff in there. So, thank Terry for letting us go over and being on the line and holding for such a long period of addressing this issue, okay?
And thank you very much, Ron. Yes, thanks, Terry.
Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
We're still on BBS, so thank Don for letting us go over. We'll see you Wednesday, and over and out, okay?
Nice.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. Your conference recording has stopped.